I am so thankful for the opportunity that I've had to work here at Henderson this summer. I'm so thankful for the opportunity that the elders have given me to be the first preaching intern. I'm also very thankful for Robert giving me the opportunity to learn under him, and it has been a wonderful summer so far. I've learned so much, and I've just been overall just super thankful for this opportunity that I've had to participate in all of the activities that I've been able to participate in this summer. I'm very thankful that my family is able to be here with me as well tonight. As we look tonight at the blessings and spiritual blessings that we can have in Christ, I think about maybe some gift or some blessing that I received, or maybe you can think about a gift that you received that you didn't deserve. I've received many things in my life that I haven't really felt like I have necessarily deserved, but one in particular stands out to me. I was probably around 8 to 10 years old, and just going about my normal day. I think I was maybe a Wednesday night at church, and then some man from the congregation who I knew him all right, but like I was friends with his sons, but we weren't particularly super tight for any reason. And he was a big Duke basketball fan. And as you know, and maybe this is a little dangerous, my first time standing up here telling you that I'm a big Kentucky basketball fan, but I'm a very big Kentucky basketball fan. I have always loved Kentucky basketball. I pay attention to it a lot, and so I really enjoy all things Kentucky basketball. So this man is a big Duke fan, and we would joke back and forth about Kentucky and Duke and, you know, the things that we do as fans of different teams. But at work, they were having a giveaway of a Kentucky signed John Calipari basketball, and that doesn't mean as much anymore as what it used to, but John Calipari was obviously the coach of Kentucky, and I really looked up to him. I thought it would be, you know, really neat, and so they were having a giveaway at work, and it was, I think, maybe to benefit the Lions Club, and so obviously he didn't care about the basketball at all. But he put in just $3, and I think every dollar you put in was like a ticket to a possibility to win the basketball. And it was all in a fundraiser. So he put in $3, and then these other guys have been putting in, you know, quite a bit of money because they want to win this basketball, and they think it's a neat opportunity. And so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one of his three tickets gets drawn, and he wins the Kentucky basketball. And obviously, he had no need for it. He said he almost burned it. But he decided to restrain from burning it, and he gave it to me. And I believe he was offered some money from some of those other guys who really wanted it. But he felt like he didn't have anything in it, so there's no point in him making a profit off of it. And so he wanted to give it to me. And it was really meaningful to me, and I still have it in my room, and I really appreciate it. But it was kind of just like out of nowhere. I didn't feel like I deserved it, had done anything for it, but it was really impactful to me. And maybe you have a story similar to that of receiving a gift that you didn't deserve. And looking for this idea of receiving something that you didn't deserve, I ran across a guy named Sergey Sudev, who back in 2008, he had lived in a country in Europe called Moldova. And he was 31 years old and just worked as a DJ at a radio station. And he had an uncle who I think he had seen like twice in his life, one of which was like the last time he had seen him was over 10 years ago. And that uncle passed away. Out of nowhere, Sergey sees on the news, and as he's working at the radio station, he hears that this man who lives in a foreign country passes away and has just an incredible amount of money, around $1 billion. And apparently he didn't have that much family, and he left it to this other man who he hadn't really met very often in his life, but left it to him. And so Sergey, come to find out, he was the man that was left with over $1 billion from this uncle who he had barely even known. He had only met twice in his life, and the last time he had seen him was over 10 years ago, and he had very little contact to him. Now, talk about a gift that you just don't really feel like you deserve and the amount of it. I think that is, a very impactful gift, and it changed his life completely. And so, you know, he received that gift, and I received a gift that I didn't really feel like I deserved. But in Christianity, we have received a gift that we do not deserve. And obviously, that is Jesus. Jesus came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins, and he is the one that we did not deserve. It is the greatest gift that was ever offered to mankind. And so I believe that there are many other blessings and gifts, though, that come from Christianity besides Jesus. And Jesus just opened up the pathway that we now have. And there's so many other blessings that we have in Christianity because of Jesus. And so tonight, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, and look at five of these gifts, five of these blessings that I believe that we have as Christians. Now, this passage in the Greek is a very long section that is one continuous sentence. Paul writes it and it is just one flowing thought. The entire verses of 3 through 14 are just one flowing thought. And it is just an incredible work and one of the most impactful and one of the longest just praises to God in the entire Bible. And the entire section, he is just almost ranting, if you will, about how wonderful God is and how many ways that he has blessed us. And so if you look at commentaries and different things and what different people say about it, there's not really a good outline of it because it's just one continuous thought. There's no sentence breaks or anything. And so I've picked out what I believe is five different ways that Paul kind of, he doesn't really outline, but that Paul states in this passage here. And I'd like to look at those five things tonight. But before we begin and dive into those five things, I think there's three simple questions that we can ask that you might have heard at any family Christmas. Maybe, I know I've heard them at different family Christmases about receiving and giving gifts. And so the first of these questions is, who gives the blessing? You know, maybe you show up at a family Christmas and somebody did the dreaded thing of not putting their name on it for who it's from. And I don't know if y'all have ever had some of that madness go on, but that's obviously a question that we ask. Who is the one who gives this blessing? And I think we can find this answer very clearly in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. And so we see here that God is the one who has blessed us. God is the one who gives us the blessings. Paul begins this section by praising God. He refers to God as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, not too many times in Scripture is God referred to in that way as both God and Father in the same section. You see, Paul right here is praising God. He is talking about all of the wonderful things that God does for us. And so God is the one who gives all these wonderful blessings. Without him, we have no way of receiving these blessings because he is the giver of it. He is the one who gives us these wonderful things. We can look at James chapter 1, verse 17, if you'd like to turn over there really quickly. James chapter 1, verse 17. And James talks about this idea as well. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. You see, God is the one who gives every gift. Every gift and every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, the author says. And I don't think we notice these blessings enough. We often overlook the fact that God is the one who constantly gives us blessings. You know, we sung earlier, count your blessings, and I think that is such a good thing to do. We often overlook all of the many blessings that we have in our life. We take them for granted, the simple things of being able to come in here in an air-conditioned building, be outside of the heat, be able to drive here safely, all of the roads and the different things that we have set up in our society, our wonderful houses. We often take so many things for granted, but God is the one who gives us so many blessings in this life. The second question that I think is a simple question that you also might hear is, who is receiving the blessings? You know, if I go back to my same analogy, there's also been, Christmases where you're sitting around and there's like 10 boxes. And it's like, well, who's this for? And who's this for? And so, you know, this is a question that we should ask too of this passage. Who is the ones who should be able to receive these blessings? And we also find this answer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. You see, those who are able to receive God's blessings are those who are in Christ. Throughout the Bible, we see that God gives blessings to everyone. God is blessing everyone, obviously, with so many things in America. And those who are not here tonight, those who do not believe in God, those who are not in Christ are still receiving many wonderful blessings because God is a loving Father and He has blessed all human beings with so many wonderful things. We can see in many biblical passages the Bible talking about that. Psalm chapter 136, verse 25 says that God gives food to all flesh. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You see, God blesses and takes care of all humans on this earth. He is willing to give these blessings to everyone, but specifically these blessings that we are about to talk about tonight and that we are going to look at in this following passage are for those who are in Christ, those who are Christians. This phrase is used several times in the New Testament, and it simply refers to those who are in Christ. And so that is the second thing that I would like us to notice. And the third question that we might ask is, where are the blessings? We've talked about a little bit the earthly blessings that we all have and the earthly things that we receive on this earth, but the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 goes on to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." You see, these blessings that we are going to be looking at tonight are in the heavenly places. This idea, this in heavenly places, is not exactly referring to heaven, but it is more of a spiritual realm as it's used. It's used other passages, and it's just like in heavenly places or in the spiritual realm is a good way that we can define what he is trying to say here. They are not to be received on this earth only, but they are more in a spiritual sense. They are in a spiritual realm. Now, that does not mean that we will not reap the benefits of these blessings on this earth, because I think we will. But I believe that these blessings are meant to be received in heavenly places. And so Paul is not saying that, you know, these blessings are just earthly and physical, but they are a spiritual blessing. We can receive these things in heavenly places. And so now, as we've kind of covered those three simple questions that kind of lay the groundwork for the rest of what we're going to be talking about tonight in verses 4 through 14, I'd like to dive in to the first of these blessings. And we find that in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and that is that He chose us. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him." You see, the first spiritual blessing mentioned is that He chooses us. This word means that He picks us out. He selects us. He chose us for a divine purpose. You see, God is the one that is choosing us. That is powerful. God is the one that is picking us. I don't know if you've ever been out on a playground, and I'm sure some of these youth have, especially more recently, been out on a playground or at a park after school, and you're wanting to play some 5-on-5 basketball. And there's two people, you're like, yeah, y'all two be team captains. And what do? They pick their teams. And so you're picking, and then it's never fun to be the last one to be picked, right? You want to be one of the first ones because that means you're better and you want to be one. But there's always that one person who maybe even gets left out. Maybe there's 11 people. You can only have room for 10. And that person is left out. And that's not a good feeling, right? It's never good to be left out. It never feels good. But we can know that God chooses us. No matter who you are, God chooses you. He doesn't leave anyone out. This word is used in other biblical passages as well. Acts chapter 13, verse 17 says, "The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt." You see that same word, He chose them. Luke chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And when the day came, He called His disciples and chose from them." And that's Jesus talking about His disciples and Jesus choosing His disciples. You see, He picked them out. That's the same word that is used in this passage. Just like Jesus chose His disciples, He handpicked them. That is what God does to us. He chooses us. He wants us. He desires us. And so, you know, there's been much debate and maybe some misunderstanding about this passage. And Some people argue that there's predestination or different arguments about these things such as that. But so some people may say that, you know, God chooses certain people beforehand. But this is different in that God does not choose certain people, but God has chosen a group of people. He is going to choose anyone that meets the qualifications. Just like if you meet the qualifications of height and weight limit to ride a roller coaster at a park, you're in that chosen group to be able to ride that roller coaster. That is the same way with God. If you meet the qualifications of being a Christian, following His Son, then you are going to be chosen by God. And as we've already looked at, that we have to be in Christ to receive these blessings. And so if we are in Christ, we are chosen by God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Here Peter speaks to this idea. It says in verse 9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." You see, we are a chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. We are God's chosen people. God chooses Christians. And if you are a Christian, then God chooses you. This verse says that, or if we flip back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and as it goes on there in that passage, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. You see, this is not something that God has just recently done. It's not something that He just flippantly does, but God chooses us, and He's chosen us even since before the foundation of the world. I think it's neat that we can say all these things, and all five of these points today are going to be in a past tense. You see, God has already done these things. He is already giving us these blessings. You see, He has already chosen us. And how powerful that is, and how what a blessing it is to know that God chooses us. God wants us, and He picks us out. The second point that I want us to look at tonight, and the second blessing that I believe that we have in Christ, is that He adopted us. We can see this in verses 5 and 6. "In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved." This verse says He predestined us for adoption as sons. See, He has already decided our state. He predestined us. He already chose us. He already has decided to adopt us into His household. Recently, I heard a story about a lady who was adopted at a later age in life, and she talked about how she bounced around through so many families in throughout her childhood as she was growing up, and then later in life, she was adopted after she had grown up and was already an adult, and she talked about how meaningful that was to her because she understood what it was to not be adopted, to not have any family, to be alone. But then yet again, what it felt like to be adopted and to be chosen. See, she talked about how meaningful that was and how emotional that was and how she brought a lot of problems. She was not perfect at that point in life, and she still struggled. And obviously with a past background, the way that she had gone through, it must have been very tough. But she talked about how this just means so much to be adopted and to be brought into a family, and how oftentimes people in the church just overlook this idea, and we just say without really thinking about it that we are adopted into Christ and that we are adopted into His family, and we just kind of say it as a figure of speech without really thinking about it. But this is extremely powerful. We are adopted into God's family. We are not original to His family. We are not allowed, typically under normal circumstances, to be in His family, but He gives us that opportunity by adopting us in. And how powerful and how wonderful that is. You see, He chose us. He adopted us. This kind of piggybacks off of the fact that He chose us, but I think it is deeper. You see, He doesn't just choose us for the one time, but He goes even further to adopt us and take us in as fully His children. It is an incredibly, incredible thing, and it is so powerful. Turn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The Bible talks about this idea here. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." You see, this is very powerful. We are adopted in as sons and as daughters into God's family. He chose us. He wanted us, and he adopted us into his family. We cry out to God, longing for him, and how wonderful it is that God adopts us into his family. What a blessing it is to be adopted into God's family. The third blessing that I believe that we can see in this passage is that he redeemed us. Go ahead and turn back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll read verses 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." You see, in verse 7 it says, "In him we have redemption." God redeems us. And redeem is not really a word that we use that much in our world today. It's not something that we hear very often, at least I don't in my typical life. But to redeem something is to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. It is to kind of take away and to put in place the bad things that are wrong with it, and to take the place and change it to good things. You see, the way that this works is that God takes away our faults. He redeems our bad aspects. We have so many things that we fail in as Christians, so many things that we are wrong in, but God takes those things away. He redeems us. Christ was the compensation for all of our many faults. We have so many faults, so many sins, but Christ took those things away, and he made the difference so that we can no longer have that separation through Christ. And how has he done that? The verse goes on to continue to say that he has done that by forgiving our trespasses because of his wonderful grace. You see, God has forgiven us. He has redeemed us. His wonderful grace has given us the opportunity to be a child of his. As you can see, all these things kind of stack onto each other, and as the writer here is just piling on and praising God, and they all kind of play in together. That first he chose us, then he adopted us, but he also redeemed us, and they all play in together. Redemption is a very common theme in the Old Testament. We see it a lot more in the Old Testament than we do in the New Testament. So we can turn to Exodus chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, because here the Bible talks about this idea of redemption. Exodus chapter 6. Verses 5 through 8. We can see what it meant in the old covenant as well. Exodus 6 verse 5 says, "Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And with great acts of judgment, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession, for I am the Lord." You see, God redeemed his people here. He says, "I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you to be my people." Just as God did this to these people in the old covenant, he does this to us today. We are lost. We have no way of home without God. But he has taken us in. He has forgiven us. And he has offered us redemption. These people of Israel were in a bad spot. They were in slavery. They needed help. And God promised that he would be there for them. He would be their Savior, and he would help them get out of their troubles. And he does the same for us today. We can be stuck in horrible situations. We have done so much wrong, but yet God redeems us. And what a blessing that is. The fourth blessing that I want us to look at this evening is that he gave us an inheritance. We see this in verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 1, if you'd like to flip back there. Verse 11 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." You see, God has not only adopted us, chosen us, and redeemed us, but he has taken it a step further. He has given us an inheritance. In this passage, this word of inheritance is often debated, and a lot of translators don't really know exactly how to translate it, because this word is only used once in the entire New Testament in the Greek there. And so, but in the culture that it was written in, it was used to refer to like a casting of lots, and like they would do back then of casting lots. And so that's what it was used to refer to. And so it seems like literally what Paul is trying to get at here is that we are gaining what has been allotted to us. So kind of like what we think of as an inheritance today. So we have been gained what he has given us. We are gaining that which he has promised for us. And so God has taken it a step further. We are fully his children, and he wants to bless us in that way. Inheritance is also used in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You see, this inheritance that we are talking about that God has given us is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. I think back earlier to about Sergei Sudev and how he was a man who received such a great inheritance. And he often talked about, I read some more of what of the things that he said as obviously he was interviewed about this process. And he talked about, you know, kind of the struggles that he went through with it, that it's not all as great as what it might seem to receive that much money. He said, you know, everyone that he would walk by would stop him, would talk to him about it, would bug him. It was difficult to know how to manage this money. And we see that in many other situations. When people are given tons of money out of nowhere, they often struggle to know how to manage it. And so Sergei talked about how difficult it was to have such a great inheritance. And while it was such a blessing, it was still a challenge. Well, our inheritance as Christians is not this way. Our inheritance is wonderful because it is imperishable. And Sergei's inheritance, as soon as, you know, he blew it all, or if he would have used it, if he dies and passes away, then that is no longer his, and, you know, all of it was really for nothing. But our inheritance as Christians is heaven, and it is imperishable. And we are so thankful for that inheritance that God blesses us with as Christians. What a blessing it is to know that we have our inheritance in heaven. It is not just a bunch of money or a bunch of things, but there will be many great blessings that we will have inheritance. And the fifth and final blessing that I believe that we can see in this passage is found in verses 13 and 14, and that is that he sealed us in Christ. Verse 13 says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, we're sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." You see, in the ancient world, a seal was a mark of ownership. And you can see this in other parts of the Bible. But seals were often made of hard stones or precious metals and had a distinctive image engraved on them. And so it could have been the figure of deity or a hero or some portrait, depended on the seal. But the people back in this time would use this seal and would mark all of their valuable possessions. So anything that they had that was of value would be marked with this seal. And that is how that they kept up with it. And that is how they knew what that's what was theirs. And so this is the type of imagery that these people would see when Paul wrote this to them. That God has put that seal, he has imprinted that on it. And once that seal was put on there in the old days, back in this ancient world, it was on there for forever, and that was theirs, and it was theirs to keep. And that way, if somebody stole it, they would know because the seal would be on there. And so, as Christians, God has placed his seal upon us, if you will. There's no way that we can leave from him. God knows that we are his children. The Holy Spirit, it says, is the one that is used as the seal. And so, God knows that we are his children because he has put his seal upon us. Similar language is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Verse 21 says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." You see, we as Christians can have no doubt that our inheritance is going to be true because God has placed his seal upon us. All of his blessings will be true, and we can know that he is going to bless us with so many of these wonderful things because he has sealed us in Christ. He has given us his blessings. And what a blessing it is to know that God places his seal upon us and blesses us with these things. And so as we kind of wind down tonight, I want us to remember how blessed we are as Christians. We often overlook all of the different things that we have in this life. We take so many things for granted here in this country because we are blessed in so many ways. But God has given us so many spiritual blessings. And there are so many ways that he blesses us that this does not even get close to covering a list. But as I think about going forward, and especially think about next week, you know, we talked about evangelistic living this morning and how we should be willing to share this good news to others, but we should be willing to tell people that about this wonder, these wonderful blessings that we have, because we should want to share this with them. This is great news. All of these wonderful blessings are incredible, and we should be so thankful for them, but we should also be willing to tell others about it because we want them to be able to receive these wonderful blessings as well. And so we need to remember that these things are from God for those in Christ and are found in heavenly places. These blessings that we have listed today are that we are chosen, we are adopted, we are redeemed, we are given an inheritance, and we are sealed in Christ. And I hope that all of us here can clearly see and have the opportunity to see in our daily lives all of the wonderful blessings that God gives us so very often. And maybe tonight, if you are not in Christ, if you do not receive his blessings, then what a time to change that, because God gives us so many blessings in Christ, and we would love for you to be able to receive those blessings as well. Or maybe if you've just been struggling and forgetting maybe the blessings that God has given us, we would also love for you to take this opportunity tonight and to change and to remember all of the wonderful blessings that God gives us. If you need to make that change in a public way, if you want to put on Christ in baptism tonight, then please come as together we stand.